while we're doing this series, we need this. And our key verse is Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When the Lord wanted to herald the coming of his son, and in prophetic words, he wanted to describe the aspects of this one that was going to come. He said he's going to be a wonderful counselor. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And he's going to be the mighty God. We talked about that last week. Today we're going to go on and talk about the third pillar, the everlasting Father. The everlasting Father. There is a filling sheet for both. If you'd like to take it out, follow along, fill it in with us, or something to take this message home with you. Well, this title is one of the most comforting ones, Everlasting Father. I thought it was a son. I guess his son is born. My child is born. His son is born. And that little baby, how can the son be the everlasting father? And he was puzzling. And I hope today, by the end of this message, we'll have a little better insight in how the son be the everlasting father. In fact, that's just a showing how can the son be the everlasting father. It's going to give us a little glimpse into God and into his nature and who he is. The Bible never teaches that there's three gods. In fact, the next thing, there are not three gods, there's only one. There's only one God that was declared in the Old Testament to Israel. There is only one God. It's repeated in Mark 12, verse 29. Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So this God in eternity is one God. And he has penetrated into time and space. He created something. God created the heavens and the earth. And so, if we talk about God, we talk about him as the Father, being the gender, one is the Father, the originator. The Father is the one that gives life, creates. And so we ask the question, is Jesus a creator? Well, the scripture says that he does. Or is it the Son? In fact, that's the Son. Did the Father create or did the Son? Did the Father create or did the Son? That's clear. We're going to see it is both. In Genesis chapter 1, this God who is in eternity wanted to create this world that we live in. And God is in eternity. Eternity is not unending time. Eternity is no time outside of time. And so God created time. He created space. It's called the time space continuum that we live in. There's a connection between time and space. And science has revealed this so much more, even in just the last century or so. We're going to see how these relate, that time actually slows down, the faster you go. And all of these things that Einstein brought, we see we're living in this time space continuum, but God is outside of time. He created it. And so when this God, this one God in eternity, created, we call him the Father. And it says in Genesis 1 that God said that there be light. When God spoke it, when he said it, it happened. And then he said, let the water separate from the ground and so forth. And he said it, it happened. And he said, let the earth bring forth. It's something God said. He spoke it. It was all in his heart, all in his mind, but as he spoke it, it came into being. It says in John chapter 1, verse 1, as it describes it, this is how it works. In the beginning was the Word,
The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. So this Word, in the beginning, created all these things, because as it was spoken, it came into existence. So, there's a similar statement that's made in Colossians 1, verse 16, speaking about Jesus, "For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." So this Jesus is referred to as the Creator. It was done by Him and through Him, and everything that exists is held together by Him. And before we go on, I don't want to get into the whole thing of creation, but I want you to know something came out of nothing. Something came out of nothing. And it doesn't matter how you go and when you talk, you can talk about how it progressed, but it always goes back. What was at the very beginning? Well, it must have been something to start, but how did that something exist? Well, the Bible says that God created that which we see by the things that we do. That which is something that came out of nothing. It came out of when God spoke. God was the Creator. He spoke it. And He spoke it, it came into existence. Something that wasn't, time, space, that wasn't. It came into existence when God spoke. So it brings it in Hebrews 11 and verse 3. "By faith we understand that the world was framed by the Word of God, so that the things that are seen are not made of things which are visible." So this Word framed the world. So, and what you're showing is the Word is God's expression in time and space. This is unspeakable. You're hearing words. The things I want to say, the ideas I want to express, the truth I want to say, they're coming to me through words. It's expression. It's my expression. My expression to you. You're hearing what I am. You're sensing what I am. What's in my heart, what's in my mind, through the words that I'm speaking. So it is when God expresses Himself, this invisible God, this God that is one, this God that is a spirit, when He expresses Himself into the world that He created, it's called a word. And so this one God in eternity expresses Himself to us in time and space. So we're living in this world, so when we look up into God, we see Him as the Father in creation. We see Him as the Son in redemption. And we see Him as the Holy Spirit in regeneration as He comes into our lives and changes us from the inside out. Not two gods, one God. And each one of these is called a word. God created in the beginning by speaking a word and it came about. Jesus is called the Word of God. And notice what it says in John 1 and verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So this Word that was in the beginning, that was expressed by God to create heaven and earth, it was framed by the Word of God. It tells us in Colossians that Jesus is the one that created it. It was by Him and through Him. This Word from the beginning that was with God and was God became flesh. Became that little baby. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And it will be called Everlasting Father. Because in the sense that in that baby was God manifest in the flesh. God was manifested into this world. And So we see this little one that was born, this Word, the Word that created heaven and earth, it now becomes flesh. And we see what God is like because we can see Jesus. We know the love of God and we look at Jesus. We see the justice of God and we look at Jesus. We see how God will handle situations when we see Jesus. Hebrews tells us that He's the express image of the Father. It's God, the Father, the everlasting Father, is now manifesting Himself through the Son. And so the Son is the Son, but is also the everlasting Father. You can never divide God into three parts. It's never meant to be. There's one God. But He manifests Himself through the Word into our hearts. And so we look to Him as the Father who created, and we see Him as Jesus, who this Word becoming flesh, this Son born, Jesus coming to us. And we're going to see as we read some of these further verses how He really begins to explain that He is more than just a man, but that He is God coming into the world. And it's quite powerful how Jesus expresses Himself. Now, this one that's born, it says in Luke 1 and verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Father will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One that is going to be born will be called the Son of God." Not to say Jesus was called the Son of God. Now this is where it seems to be a little, when we look at the Trinity and we need to try to understand these aspects, it can be confusing. And a lot of people can't get their head around how three can be one. And I don't say that I can completely explain it, but the Bible did not mean, I don't believe, for it to be such a clutter for us. And I think if we go through this morning, we can have a better idea how this Son is the everlasting Father and how God is one. So this one, Jesus, that was born was called the Son of God. Called the Son of God. This is what we call God the Father in creation, because He started it, He created it. And so the Son is called the Son of God. It's not that God generated a Son in eternity. There was no Son, and then He generated a Son. And some people sort of think that. I mean, how it's confusing. Well, He's an eternal Son. Well, how can a Son, which speaks of having a beginning, Son, be an eternal Son? And so these are the things that sort of cover us as we go forward. But I think as we see, it's not that just one that was born is this Word. It's not like this Word was suddenly started. It's always been there. It's always been in God, this Word expressed. If you think that God generated the Son, well, then who is the mother? And it reminds me when I take this here, and I was asking questions, and we were going through things, and who is this, and I said, and who's Mary? And she said, God's wife. And I thought, well, sort of like that, but it's not. And that's the whole thing. God sort of has a wife? No, we realize this woman that was born is so different. And to give us an idea of who this one was, it came from the Father. It was the expression of the Father. And yet it's always been there. The Word was in the beginning. It's always been there. The Word that was expressed to create. And it's just true that when God expresses Himself into this world that we live, it's called Word. And so we have the Word of God that created this world. We see Jesus is the living Word. This Word took on flesh. He dwelt among us. It was the expression of God into this world. You may see a moment if you read the scriptures that the Holy Spirit is the continuation of the expression of God into this world. And so from our perspective, sitting on earth, looking heavenward, we see the Father in creation, we see the Son in redemption, we see the Holy Spirit in regeneration, but there's not two gods that are two gods. There's only one God. And it's one God expressing himself into this world. Jesus is the God of the Spirit. Jesus is the God of the Spirit. This is what it says in 1 Timothy 3:16. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. If you want to understand God, you have to see Jesus as being a real nature. He was a man. The Bible refers to him as the man of Jesus. He was flesh. He was like you and I. He took on the shoes of Abraham. He was hungry. He became tired. He had to sleep. There were some things just as a man he didn't know. He grew in knowledge and wisdom by the faith of that baby here. He grew in knowledge. He became more and more understanding. As a man, he was just like us. But he was not just a man, he was God. His flesh was just flesh. The God that he had was just God. His spirit, though, was not just the spirit of a man, his spirit was just the eternal spirit of God manifesting itself through him into this world. So sometimes Jesus spoke as a man, and he said, if I can do this, and then other times he just spoke as God and left confused people by the Spirit. In John 8, verse 57, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. If you read verse 56, he tells them, Abraham rejoiced to see this day. And they responded to him in verse 56. And the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old. Do you see Abraham? Jesus said to them, what's the favor? I told you before Abraham was, I am. Now he is uttering a phrase, I am, that was spoken by God to Moses. And he said, who are you that's sending you? When they ask you who it is that's sending you to deliver Israel, God says, I am. And so, here's the amazing thing. It's that God calls himself Jesus. Jesus calls himself I am. Now, they're looking at the first part. They said, you're not Jesus. And you talk to him, oh, yeah. Well, he didn't talk to his flesh. But the Spirit of God, that God part of Jesus, was well aware of Abraham, was before Abraham. And as we said, before Abraham was, I am. Now, they didn't mistake what Jesus said, because they picked up rocks and made it stand for blasphemy because he's making himself to be God. And this was a terrible thing in the Bible, that this man would call himself God. And this is exactly who Jesus was. He was the God man. And you can just keep that in mind when you read the sayings of Jesus, which he sometimes he talked as a man, other times Jesus spoke as the Jesus of God's Father, speaking to him. The next thing, Jesus told Philip that he was the everlasting Father. Now, this is amazing. John 14, verse 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. And it is sufficient for us. This is when Jesus said, show us the Father. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me? Philip, you have seen me as seeing the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? I mean, from our perspective today, we understand. But I try to put myself back in the shoes of the disciples. It must have been quite a adventure walking with Jesus, trying to figure out the steps. In fact, they take the first steps. They even difficult things to understand. And from their perspective at once, we have a better perspective to their understanding. And we're going to read some more of some of the things that Jesus said. It must have made their heads spin. It must have been thinking, what's he talking about? They, you know, sort of saying, well, it's yours to find. And Jesus said, how do you make it so long? You don't know? You shouldn't need to see yourself. It was tested. But it goes right back to the prophecy that we're saying here. He is a wonderful prophet. Mighty that he was the everlasting Father. Colossians 2:9, somewhere in my heart, and says, talking about Jesus, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead body. All the fullness of God was in Christ Jesus. The Father was in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit was in Christ Jesus. All of God was in Christ Jesus. There's no two gods. Wherever the Father is, please tell us, that the Son and the Holy Spirit is. Wherever the Son is, the Father and the Holy Spirit is. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, the Father and the Son. That's not true. They're one, they're indivisible. But they're doing the work, they're expressing themselves to us, they're revealing themselves to us. The aspects of God are being expressed, but in Jesus, all the fullness of the Godhead is Jesus. The next filling, the Jesus who is Jesus, is claiming to be God. This is what really bothered them. They brought him before Pilate, and you can read this in John 19 and verse 7. They bring him before Pilate. Pilate talks to Jesus, he comes back to the Jews and says, and then they respond, the Jews answered him, we have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. They saw it, they heard it. He's expressing, he contemplates with revealing himself to God. He would forgive people their sins. He made a sin and said, well, nobody can forgive him their sins. He healed the person. And then Jesus comes back and says, do you believe in the Son of God? He says, well, show me the Son of God. And Jesus says, I want to talk to him. And so, when they arrest him, they are arresting him and bringing him forward because he's claiming to be God. Then he was God. He was God manifest in the flesh. The night that Jesus was betrayed, just before he was arrested, he's talking to his disciples. And look at what he says in John 14, verse 1. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. So really, he's explaining to the disciples, and I'm having a hard time grasping this, but he's saying, as a man, as a woman, but the Father dwells in me. And I am the Father. And the words that I'm speaking to you, I'm not speaking of myself. Those are the words that come from the Father that has created the heaven and the earth. Another place that says, you see, the words I speak to you are spirit and words. Jesus, when he spoke, the words he spoke, because he was the living word, it was always words of life. They were always true. They were always the expression of God. Now, he goes on further, and he really begins to lay this out, which I'm sure they didn't understand. But Jesus is the next one. Jesus is trying to make disciples to me. Now, this is what he said. Can you follow this in John 14, starting at verse 10? You read verse 10. verse 16, he says to me, I will pray the Father, who will give you another helper, that he might may abide with you forever. Now, this helper will be known as the Holy Spirit. And he goes on, but the Spirit is whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So speaking of the Holy Spirit, and he says, now really, the Holy Spirit is with you now. Well, he is with him. Jesus. And then Jesus, while all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the Father is in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is in Jesus. He's expressing God to the world. He's talking to him. So he says, the Spirit is with you, but if the days will begin with you, because once Jesus died on the cross and our sins were cleansed, he could now dwell in our heart and change us from the inside out. So Jesus is speaking about this day that's going to come. This is his listening for the monthly thing. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. But who's going to come to you? Well, the Holy Spirit's going to come to you. And he says, I'm going to come to you. Because whether the Holy Spirit is the Son, the Father is. And one God is manifesting himself. Now, I think their heads just felt the same at this moment, as he's thinking in this spirit. Says, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live on. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. It's interesting, when Jesus was physical, glorified body of Jesus was ascended into heaven, what did Jesus say? Lo, as he disappeared, as a cloud speaking him out of his head, he says, lo, I am with you all. But how can he do this in the world? He's going away. He's physical body is going away. Well, he's already told him, he's not going to leave the Lord of Parkinson's, he's going to come to him. How's he going to come to him? Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit is going to be in him. And when the Holy Spirit is in him, Jesus is in him. That aspect of redemption of Christ is in him. And the Father is in him, who is the Creator. The Holy Spirit is in him. I am in my Father, you are me, and I am in you. We understand that today, but it must have caused the disciples to remember that for 40 days after his resurrection, it says that Jesus appeared to his disciples and taught them things from his kings and the kingdom of God. And so he went over it and studied it and shared it and exactly where it was and let them know and the day of Pentecost preaching that the power of God and the Holy Spirit was poured out, the word of the Holy Spirit. And here's the last one. We are called sons of God. Don't raise your Jesus. And this is where we are drawn into this today. Jesus was the real son of God, the word sons of God. Just as God was in Jesus manifesting himself to the world, God now by the Holy Spirit is in us, and we want us to express himself. And we're joint heirs with Jesus. He's our brother, says that he is the first among many brethren. We are brothers not with Christ, and yet Christ is our God. But after the flesh, the man Christ Jesus is my brother. But he was the prototype. God was in flesh manifesting himself. Now God wants to be in your flesh manifesting himself. Paul said, that's why I'm separated from my mother's womb. Christ would be revealed in me. God wants his character, the character of Christ, to change from you. The actions of Jesus, the thoughts of Jesus, the mind of Christ to be us. If he is in us, now we're manifesting God to the world. We're not God. But we are manifestations of God to the world. There's only one Son of God, but He sees the Father and so through the branches. All the sap flows through the vine, and then it's distributed to the branches. The Bible says that Jesus took the Spirit of God without measure. All of God was in Christ Jesus. But we, it says, have the Spirit of God with measure. And this is just the earnest of our heritage. He just puts a little bit of His Spirit with us. We're not God. But He puts His Spirit with us. God is in us, manifesting Himself to us. And so we have this beautiful strength. And this is what we need to realize. We're celebrating a baby that was born so long ago in Bethlehem. But now we're being called sons of God. And if you've ever sung the song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, and in that one, I think the last verse says, you know, as you were born there, Christ be born in us. And we open our hearts and we be born in us because that's what He wants. And the Spirit of God wants to be born in you, changing you, transforming you, and making you different, and being a manifestation of God. And the fruit of the Spirit is manifesting us. He is the baptizing of the Holy Spirit. Christ baptizes. It's like the vine separates the sap to the different branches. We are grafted in to this vine in the Christ, and this life flows through us. This is what it's all about. This is what God intended for you to do. That He is in the Father is in us, or is in Christ, and He's in us, manifesting Himself to the world. Confusing on one side if you don't see Him, but that baby was the everlasting Father. But the Spirit of God was in that child, little baby man, He was the God. And so it was described in Isaiah so long ago that He was the everlasting Father. Let us stand together with me. I don't know how many are familiar with the prayer. There's some beautiful. Do you ever read the words of the prayer of the Christmas tradition? I mean, it's powerful. Truth about Jesus. But let me just read the lyrics of this one. And the prayer is down from this glory. And this is what it says. Down from this glory as a living story. My God and Savior King, and Jesus was the Son. Born in a manger to His own splendor, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. And the chorus says, oh, how I love Him, how I adore Him, my breath, my sunshine, my all in all. The great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwells in me. And then the second verse says, what can be sent bringing us redemption? That in the dead of night, not one thing opens up, God's gracious King laid aside His throne, seeking to will to win to save my soul. And then the third verse, without reluctance, flesh and blood perception, He took the form of man, revealed the hidden plan. O glorious mystery, sacrifice of power, and now I know that you are the great I am. Oh, how I love you, how I adore you, my breath, my sense, my all in all. The great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwells. there's a dismay now, we have to bring that to the Lord. And we have to bring it to the Lord. And we have to bring it to the Lord. And we have to bring it to the Lord. Father, we thank you for this immense and true kingdom of God, that you are the eternal God, and you are the Christ of Christ Jesus. Lord, I ask that we will have a new reverence, that we will have a new worship and praise and think about you, when we think of that baby we can't imagine how God, the Creator, the King, our Savior, and Father, Lord, we don't understand it, but we thank you for it. And Lord, we ask that you be born in front of us, all of us, maybe we representatives of you, maybe we sons and daughters of God. Lord, I pray for everyone in this congregation right now to be filled with your Holy Spirit and to manifest your life to you. Lord, in Jesus' name, pray in your name. And if you see your little one today, you're at 4 or 7, if you'd like prayer,